I got nothing. You guys both have the enthusiasm. I've got nothing.
Consider this candle lit.
It is lit. Oh,
it's been a while since we lit it. So, like about a month, right?
Yeah. I mean, we got to get to the point where you two guys need to get divorced and stop having, like, real lives and stuff so we can do...
I'll have you know this week's selection has piqued the interest of my wife, and then that quickly faded away after about a minute. And
you know what? This is actually, I think it's been probably my favorite movie that we've done. I actually kind of liked it.
It's definitely...
I'm totally lying, too.
Wow.
I was trying to do the old rope-a-dope in when you guys would be like, really? And I would be like, no, it's a piece of shit.
You totally sucker punched me in that one. I was like, oh, I could see you. Huh? So, but before we get started, I have to know, I'm kind of wondering, because Tim, you kind of liked something earlier today, and I noticed that John, you kind of changed some stuff around. I don't know if we've talked about it yet, but what is the significance of Harry Dean Stanton now, all of a sudden? I heard he had some kind of article in the New York Times or something, or he had some kind of biopic or something. What's up with the Harry Dean?
Well, there's really nothing new. Tim has kind of always known about my problem with Harry Dean. Not problem, but he's probably my problem. That old cocksucker. I got a problem with you now. He's possibly, I think, the greatest actor living that we have.
I think we might have talked about it before. I can't remember, but I just noticed that your profile had changed, yeah. And Tim was putting some stuff around. I'm like, wow. At first, I thought he died, and I was like, uh oh.
No,
I don't know why I do that kind of thing, because, like, I just, every once in a while, like, on a Facebook page or something, I don't know if it's morose or what, but I'll just put some really weird picture on there, and I was just kind of having a really old Harry Dean Stanton feeling kind of day, and I just put it up there, I posted a thing once on Twitter, and I got so much negative attention. It was so funny when they were about to announce the new Doctor Who, and I said, I hope it's Harry Dean Stanton.
And then everyone's like, boo this man.
Oh, yeah, they just dogpiled on me. It was great. They were just like, that's a horrible choice. What are you? And I don't think it would be that bad.
Well, they announced a new one, Peter Capaldi, and he kind of looks like the Scottish version of Harry Dean Stanton. So, I mean, maybe you're onto something there.
You're close.
I actually saw it because Tim told me that the new Doctor Who is was on 28 Days Later, and that was on TV the other day. So I actually watched the part when they got to the soldiers because I wanted to see, because I get a better reference.
One of the new
Doctor Who.
Well, one of them.
But, yeah.
Well, no, but. I thought he was the one they just chose.
No. He was the first new one of the continuation that started in 2005. The guy in 20 Days Later only did it for a year. So.
Yeah.
But Harry Dean Stanton will come up later when I choose. I got the pick. I got the next pick for the movie.
I was going to ask which Harry Dean Stanton movie it is.
Yeah, that's. You want
me to
guess
announce
what it was.
Now?
That was some. No.
You wait till the end.
No, but that was some amazing foreshadowing on your part, sir.
Yes, I went to college for communications, and so I can communicate sometimes. I do a little bookend, a little foreshadowing, a little backlogging, a little. I got nothing.
Well, I retweeted a thing because there's a piece in the New Yorker about Harry Dean Stanton. It's a profile about him.
Oh, okay. But there is a documentary.
Only for the benefit of you, probably. But
I
know
there's a documentary that's out.
Won't see this, so.
Yeah, one person out of everyone. But if you look at his IMDb page, it's amazing. Like, he's been in like over 200 films. And he just and he's done really good. Like the other day, I forgot. Like he was the bad in Pretty in Pink, and he has like the most like dramatic scene in it. And it's just, I don't know. I like him.
Yeah.
I like him. He's a good actor. You know, I still stick by the Doctor Who.
But has he been in a movie with Linda Blair? That's what I want to know.
Probably. I think, you know, everyone did the whole Kevin Bacon thing. but it's probably, I'm sure there's probably a movie that he's made at some point, but yeah, so do we want to get into this? Because I have a lot of questions, but I'm a little bit older than you guys, and I don't remember certain trends that well. But I don't know if you guys want to just jump into it. Is there anything else we need to discuss?
Oh, no. That's a perfect segue. So I had this week's pick, and I decided to take it back to the year, since I am a child of the 70s. Granted, I was born in the middle of 1979. That still counts. being a child of the 70s, I had to go back to my 70s roots, and I picked a movie called Roller Boogie. It is pretty much the ultimate in roller skating movies, which, believe it or not, there's not that many movies about.
Is this a movie that you picked, like, that you watched when you were a kid, and you like, I mean, what chose you to pick this movie?
So I had something else queued up, and I was kind of foreshadowing it, but I was at the Alamo Draft House getting ready to watch a movie. It was either a Master Pancake thing when they did Star Trek II, or it was in front of a Pacific Rim. But either of those two. At any rate, the trailer came up, and it was like seeing the face of God. I was like, "Ma, it's the next Gonzo Guys movie." So I couldn't help myself. And what really put me over the top was the goober guy that crashed into the garbage cans at the beginning. I was like, "Well, that put me over the top."
No Control Jones or whatever his name was.
Yeah. So real quick, so this movie is about people who skate in Venice Beach and not like rollerblade. Oh, and the guy's name. So the story goes like this: rich girl wants to skate on the beach, but she's like some classically trained musician, and she thinks her parents don't love her. Flaky, featherhead, squirrely dude is like the ultimate skater guy, who also happens.
That's the only movie that guy. I looked it up. His name is Jim Bray.
Yeah,
and he was not an actor. He was an actual roller skater, and they said that at the time he had 275 roller trophies.
And it was amateur, by the way. Amateur. He turned pro for this movie.
He's possibly one of the worst actors I've ever seen.
So, throw in a couple of stereotypes, some cleavage shots at the beach, some bad shakedown by some mob guys, and some really grizzled old hairy dude that runs the roller skating rink, and you got yourself Roller Boogie.
Now, wait a second. That guy was not grizzly and hairy. I'm grizzlier and hairier than that guy was.
But
than Jammer.
He had a curly mustache. And
I'm offended by that, sir.
Well, no, Jammer, that's grizzled and hairy for Southern California. Even though you're a northerner. You're a different kind of grizzly. You're mountain man.
Different kind of grizzly. Yeah. I like to call it ruggedly handsome, but no one's buying that shit.
Things were different during that one month that roller skating was really popular.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because, I mean, when this movie came out in 1979, I was born in 74. Let's just throw it all out there. We did roller skate when I was a kid. Yeah, easy. We did roller skate a lot when I was a kid. Like, it was usually like on Friday nights. And it was at a roller rink like that, but it wasn't like this mass hysteria, because that, like, everybody was on roller skates throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, pretty much. They even had sex in them.
Oh, yeah, when there was, like, that weird dumpster race that was going on, like, at the beginning.
There was
so much rape implications in this movie. There was a lot of, like,
this
rape on, I should call it rape on wheels.
Roller raping. Tim, do you have a
theme? Let me see. One second. Wait, here comes. Let's see what it says.
Yes, my favorite guy, Complete Control Conway.
There you go. Let's see if we get a little here it comes. Let me give you the theme song here.
Let's go, Skate. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the
arm dancing. There we go. Hell on Wheels, my ass.
Wheels break the smoke. Smoke out my ass.
So a lot of spontaneous dancing going on.
Yeah, I like how they're just walking through Venice Beach and people are dancing and figure skating, like roller skating type things, just out of the blue, right? Yeah. That's what happens on Venice Beach. Not like there's any.
That was always my.
Yeah, there's not. That was my problem with musicals. Which is why it's completely unbelievable.
So they ride through Venice Beach, everybody's dancing, and you have Complete Control Jones.
Conway.
I'm going to call him
Complete Control. Maybe it is a Jeff Conway. I don't know. Maybe it was a sentence.
Conway, I'm calling him Complete Control Jones. His name's Conway.
Okay.
Rewrite. And this will come up later, too. The one guy roller skates and also drives a food truck but never sells anything off of it.
Well, that was his dad's business.
A lot of fresh produce. Yeah.
Well, it's the very start of it. Like it was just like the whole introduction of all the different zany characters. What was the name of the zany character with the scarf who jumped all the barrels, and they all went nuts?
Give me just a moment, and I'll tell you.
It was. Yeah, I think that's the only time he ever showed up in the movie too.
That was it. He's the
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Well, what I kept thinking about when the movie started and like I saw how little the shorts were,
yeah,
and how like there was a lot of women in bikinis. My own thought was it wasn't even so much like, oh my god, that's fashion horrible, but I'm like wow, if you fall down, you are gonna just be just a hamburger. I mean, if you're wearing like a little tiny shorts, I mean, like if you wear a bikini and fall on roller skates, I mean, your ass is gonna look like beef jerky.
I don't know, John. You tell me.
If you're one.
Oh yeah, nothing so sexy like cleavage with scabs on it from because you wiped out on the beach. I mean, it's like, oh.
Ooh, tell me
more.
That's my old conservative side. Like these people need to put some clothes on. If they fall down, they're gonna get hurt.
If you did a, if you do a certain move in those shorts, your balls are gonna fall out.
Oh yeah, well there was when they first show Billy, there's a scene when he gets up to start skating, where you could tell he kind of does like a little ball adjustment kind of, you know, he's definitely.
Let's see if we can get that. Hang on, here he comes. That's the gay juggler. Never mind. Oh, there it was. Jumpin' Jack Flash. There you go.
It's Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Pink jumpsuit. Yeah, all right. They stopped their
synchronization
just for him.
My stupid ass was watching this like this was a real movie, and I was thinking like, oh, Jumpin' Jack Flash, they're foreshadowing something.
Nope. He's like, see you guys.
See you guys. I'm going to take my scarf and go jump over some other barrels. I don't remember.
I think he got lumped into featured skater because there's like 50 featured skaters in this movie.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But it's Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Yeah, so, okay, so, like, we get introduced to feather-haired flaky guy and then Linda Blair. And then, like, and then flaky-haired friends. We're all stereotypical Italian guy, stereotypical like blonde surfer dude, and the stereotypical black guy, who actually
with headphones.
Yes,
oh.
A very important plot point because what happens is they all somehow like show up. You know, the love story is a love story. It sucks. It's like they kind of chance meet Linda Blair and this guy. They skate a little bit, then they don't. And then the Italian guy makes a bet, and then like they skate at the roller skating rink or whatever. And then it's the classic I'm gonna dig at you to flirt, and then they start getting together, and then it's like rich girl poor boy, and it's just like whatever. It's boring. It sucks. It's not very.
But here's what.
Oh, go ahead.
Here's my philosophical question about. I don't understand, like, is Linda Blair supposed to be, like, a sex symbol? Because she's kind of weird looking, and her character is not charming. She's really kind of a bitch.
Yeah, but
and
she's,
I think, like, all
she's
the movies
a rich bitch,
but every movie I've seen in it, there's something about the way that, that Linda Blair delivers lines and talks. It's like she's a shit. She's just a real snot. And so, like, there's nothing appealing about her character. And then Billy, who's her love interest, like, he's kind of a dick, too. Because, like, there's a scene, like, when his friends are like, hey, Billy, let's go to the restaurant. There's this new hot waitress. And he's just like, I don't got time to hang out with you. And he just blows his stack.
No,
it's like
no.
The two main...
This he says, my time is my own.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I have to say, though, the best line in the whole movie, the only thing that made me really laugh was when they're talking about this hot waitress at this New Mexican restaurant. And then Billy, like, just blows up and says, my time is my own, and yells at the guys and makes them all feel like they're, you know, scumbags. And then his way of saying, hey, guys, I'm sorry. He goes, hey, so is that waitress really hot? And the guy's great line is, man, that waitress is as ugly as her enchiladas, which is a really funny line. but that was about it. But no, I thought the two lead characters were just assholes. And then, and like I said, there was all this weird, like, okay, did she sleep with the other rich guy? The rich guy, we, you know, like,
oh,
who was always
hitting
on her?
That guy was the rapey McRaberson. That guy's all like,
yeah,
he just, like, his idea of flirting is forcing himself upon and hunching over. That guy,
right.
That, and, you know, they're all kind of laughing off, too, but that guy was like,
yeah,
that guy was Rapey McRaberson, and everyone's like, oh, that's Kristen just Hell, genius. Junior. It's like, whatever, dude, that guy is a fucking creep.
In the first 20 minutes, like, we have a guy who's, like, with a girl lying on a dumpster, and she's kind of, like, pushing him off. So you got rape one.
They're,
and
yeah,
then
they're both wearing roller skates, too. I want to point that out.
Yeah, yeah. And then you've got the other part when it's, like, the guy, like, tries to grab her leg, and then so they, she spills food on him. So then he's out in the garage with a towel in his dress shirt, and he tries, like, basically to, you know, rape her again. It's just, like, this movie is just terrible. Like, rape on wheels.
I most certainly won't show my kids this movie because it's not going to teach them a thing about being a gentleman.
No. And it will teach them something about having some balance and some some poor choices in shorts wear. But, yes, you do not. This is not a gentleman. And it's just such a cavalier attitude. And I guess movies back then were kind of like, when you were just being fresh, where now you end up in HR and you get a lawsuit. So
you know, like, and not to sound like uncouth or anything, but I kind of miss those days in those kind of movies, right? Where it was that simple. It's like, this guy's a jerk.
Yeah.
This is how we establish it. Now it's like, now you gotta, like, you have to be on a jerk on a whole nother level. The evolution of jerk has changed so much.
Right.
Back then it was simpler and cleaner. I mean, you could totally identify it right away. But now it's like, well, maybe this guy really isn't a jerk, and he's just being more subversive, and that's why you get the anti-heroes and the people you're not so sure about and all that other stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's kind of like how Reese viewed wrestling. You had your good guy and your bad guy,
yeah.
And now it's like you never know who's. And really, like that guy, the rich guy, he was a jerk, but he was actually kind of, like, they kind of turned him into, like, he was one of their friends.
That's even more,
so,
like, I mean, that's kind of like, well, he's just part of the gang. That's old Rapey Johnson,
yeah,
over there.
Yeah. Oh, you.
It's like a coked-out version of our gang, really. He's that gang's version of Spanky. Yeah. Or Alpha.
Oh, yeah. It's a coked-out-on-wheels version of our gang.
The Little Rascals.
Oh,
the Little Rascals,
I mean,
that's
else?
What it is. Yeah, the Little Rascals. Oh, Alpha. He tried to rape her.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe
more like
it said they're the little assholes.
It's the little assholes.
And they're all pushing 40 too in this goddamn film too.
Pushing 40.
Did anyone else like burst into laughter when Linda Blair, who's like about to draw Social Security at some point, goes, "I'm a runaway." For what? From your pension? I mean, what do you...
How far are you running away from that pension? A couple of blocks? You know the mansion's right near the beach anyway. Come on, lady. You don't even need to drive. You're just showing off a car.
You're driving just around in a weird Hot Wheels car.
I know. I was looking forward to one of those constructed loop-de-loops and watch her drive around in it. That'd be a lot of fun. I mean, it's late 70s, early 80s. As a child of the 70s, I figured that'd be like... a cameo or a product placement for
how wonderful that would have been, like when she's like running away and then she suddenly drives up a track that's up a wall.
it would be on par to Ronald McDonald's cameo in Mac and Me. Actually had just about as much dancing as this movie.
Oh, I never saw Mac and Me. Because even when I was a kid and I came out, I was like, this is retarded. I am not going to see
even
this.
As like a 6 or 7 year old or an 8 year old, I saw the dance number with Ronald McDonald and I'm like, dude, this is just a total vehicle for McDonald's. And I'm like 8 and I'm like, I got that. I'm like, this is just a commercial for McDonald's. It's like, wow, this movie sucks.
The day little things.
And then I'm like, can I have some more popcorn you snuck in, Mom?
I just, you know, it's funny though, whenever like Tim and you like ever tell stories about you guys being younger, I just picture shorter versions of you, like smaller versions. Like I imagine like a little Hokey has his little sideburns and
oh god. And
I had a little K-State teacher.
I had the red sweatpants that were so threadbare you could see my tidy whities through them.
Yeah. You were a sweatpants kid?
I'm like, fuck you. I'm doing it.
You were a sweatpants kid?
I was a sweatpants kid, and I loved it.
I got to a certain age, and I'm like, I will never wear
it. Was threadbare. You could see my white underwear through that shit. It was beautiful.
Oh my god.
And I lied about that one. Never mind.
And you had the Velcro shoes too, because that was the style of the time. So.
Style of
Velcro is always in style. I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a good chance he's wearing Velcro shoes now.
Are you?
I'm barely clothed, so. Oh, did I say that? Oh, sorry.
He's just sitting there in a pair of cut-off red pants.
Put on the roller skates.
He's just got roller skates and shorts pulled up to his balls.
Yes.
If you were in your underwear right now, you would be better. You would be overdressed or more dressed than some of the people in the movie. It was ridiculous.
God, their shorts are like Moses. They're parting the Red Sea right now.
Oh, Derek, I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means, but it works.
Anyway, enough about my balls.
And your sweatpants.
Let's get to the plot real quick, because there's something else I want to talk about that is, now that we're talking about, you know, our childhood, that I want to get to. So let's run through this plot, because it was kind of a little bit of a stinker, but so the jammer guy owns the roller rink, right? And like the mob guys come up and they're like, we're gonna shake you down, give us more money. And he finally gets talked into like either selling the place or whatever. But
hold on a second. So we're skipping over the love story, but I made this note because I just watched it. The plot with Jammer and the mob guys wanting to buy the real estate did not come into the movie until 52 minutes in.
Oh, you're shit.
So the first 52 minutes had to do with the love story, or the, I don't know, the attempted rape story, or what you really would have called.
Well, in the 70s, love was rape.
And by the way, so did anyone notice that Bobby a couple times is wearing a wedding ring?
Maybe it's a promise ring. I don't know, man.
That's his championship roller ring.
That's probably what it was.
It's like the Super Bowl ring, except it's
championship roller O ring.
Yeah. But anyway, I was really stunned. I'm like, okay, so 52 minutes into the movie, that's an hour and 44 minutes. They introduce what should have been introduced, what, in the first 10 or 15?
Yeah, that's true. They did take a long time to build up the love story. I thought because we just went over it, right? It was like Bobby and Rich Girl and then Rapey Guy, and it was like that for a while, and a bunch of dance scenes, because they had to go to...
I don't understand, like Linda Blair was supposed to be, like, this hot woman that everyone was after, and, like, her friend was smoking hot. Her friend was a lot more attractive than she was.
Hey there, Twin Peaks, feel like a little bit of mountain climbing?
Yeah. Actually made me chuckle, because there was two. There was enchiladas in Twin Peaks.
No Olympic judge is going to vote for a turkey boardwalk skater.
Turkey boardwalk skater.
Man, that brings me back to the day when turkey was used as the derogatory term.
Hey, that waitress.
Serious.
Fox, man.
Chicks up there that are enchiladas, man.
And there we go. And that's the... Okay, so was Jammer used to be a
he was a
roller
derby
queen.
A queen.
Yeah, maybe
a queen.
You know, back in the heyday of roller derby in the 1950s.
Yes.
They
had wooden wheels and stuff like that.
And they killed
like the wooden track. Okay.
Oh man. So yeah, he was like the bomb, and he like apparently loved it so much that he bought a place. So.
Lucrative world of roller rinks.
Yeah, so so anyway, they get he gets shaken down, and the stereotypical black guy with the headphones and the boss ass tape recorder thing.
You know his name. You know what his character name was, right?
Token.
Bones.
His name is Phones.
Phones.
Phones. I got it.
Yeah. So he inadvertently pressed record and records the whole conversation through the air vent, which is awesome because you don't see people doing things through air vents anymore. Air vents used to be a really good plot point, and they're not anymore. So.
Well, but there's also another old man Barry side came out too when they jumped up on the table with their roller skates still on to listen in the vent.
Yeah.
I was like, this. That's not safe. That's just not safe.
Like, you gotta break your neck.
Safety.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm getting older. I'm just like, look, you guys need to wear long pants and sleeves, and you need to not stand on furniture when you're wearing your roller skates.
And
if you're gonna have intercourse, take off your roller skates.
Yeah. Take them off when you come in the house. God.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But anyways, but yeah, so they hear the plot, and so Jammer had already sold, didn't they? They basically. Yep. Did he sign then, or had he already signed?
No, he was getting ready to. They gave him an ultimatum, and I think he was getting ready to or something.
They think he would. No, he wasn't going to sign it, and then they made a threat like they were going to burn down the place with all the kids in it. And
with maybe kids, yeah, which would have been fine. I would have been okay with that happening in the movie. The towering inferno of roller skates.
Somebody skates by.
That place would have gone. You know, I think what that place would have gone. I put some of those polyester shorts and everything, like just an ember in there. That place just would have.
Just. See somebody skates past the door and puts a board through the handle. What?
their wheels are on fire and they're all just spinning around.
There's a disco joke in there somewhere.
So this turns into the mob guys finding out these roller kids know something. So they start chasing them all around town and stuff. So that's happening. And then, like, we get thrust upon Linda Blair's coming of age, like, clash with their rich ass parents. Yeah. Guy is, like, super lawyer guy. So obviously, like, Linda Blair's like, my dad can help. And they go and try to meet him. And then her mom her mom's just like a pill popping mom. She's just on with drugs.
Yeah.
I had that note too. That was... Did you see how much stuff she pulled out of her purse?
I know. She was a walking pharmacy.
And there was nothing like aspirin. It was all like Quaalude.
Horse and, tranquilizers and
Bennies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I can't remember what the other one was, but everything she said was a pretty hard drug. There was nothing like. Because she said she had a headache, and then when she found the Valium, she goes, ooh, Valium.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they weren't really being sly on that at all. They're like, this mom's on drugs. Here's our social commentary for rich mothers.
Take a lot of Quaaludes and offer them to your.
Day is on the drugs.
And then the stereotype May too is really ridiculous. Oh, I one thing I got to point out. Maybe this is way too deep on for about the movie, but you realize like there's this really like interesting scene where well, not really interesting. Sorry, that's just not really associated with this movie. But she's leaving to go skate. She goes, "I'm gonna go to the beach and go kill myself." And they just go, "Okay."
They called her.
So then later, Linda Blair's out at the pool, and the maid comes out, and she says, "Well, where are my parents?" She says, "Oh, they left for the week." And she goes, "Oh, I don't remember that." And so it's like, well, so you can't really be a sympathetic figure because you just did the same goddamn thing that they did to you earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, so, you know. So it's like, you're just as full of shit as they are. So, yeah. I don't know why I'm so indignant all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Coming in the house with their skates on, not paying attention.
So the kids show up to this rich party because Linda Blair is going to play a song or something, and they want to be there supportive. They also want to talk to the dad. But ooh, plot twist! Turns out the dad already knows the mob's guy, and they're kind of in cahoots, right? So then there's like a giant chase scene, and then people get thrown in the pool, which by the way keeps that same like movie trope. Where if there's a party and there's a pool, somebody's going to get thrown into the pool. So that was cool.
As soon as I saw the pool, I'm like, someone's going in the drink.
It's always the wealthy dowager.
I know. Like, my clothes are wet. So.
Well, and the way that they were screaming, like I wrote this in my note, because like when the first like two or three people fell in the pool, the screams of terror that were coming out from one of the ladies, I'm like, is that a pool of hydrochloric acid? Because
it's cool, and so
they were really.
I'll say this. It's kind of like when people run from the rain, right? It's like it starts sprinkling outside, and people just flip their shit over. It's like it's fucking rain.
Yeah.
Why are you running around like it's gonna kill you? It's rain. You'll dry up. But no, it's like my God.
I know why. Because those are very religious people, and they probably think that is really actually God's tinkle. That he really is peeing.
God's tinkle.
It's a tinkle. It's the Lord's tinkle. And they were like, oh, it's piss, run!
run! I'm going to take a shower.
It's not actually piss, it's just rain.
It's just little sprinkles.
And the people were really thrashing about in the pool, and it didn't look that deep. But it was kind of funny when the guy was supposed to help her up, and he was kind of putting his head by her butt. He was, like, pushing that lady's big butt, like, kind of up to get her out of the pool.
So the other kids instantly think they're in trouble now, because they've been like ID'd and they have nowhere to go. So, and one of the funniest things I've seen in the movie is how the phones decided to go incognito with a bunch of Hare Krishnas.
I don't think he was going incognito. He just that's what he decided to do, right? It wasn't like he was.
Yeah, but he wore a pair of pantyhose over his afro so he didn't have to cut his hair and make it look like he was bald.
Also so they could go right back to being phones when...
By the way, he had his tape recorder on him, too, while he was singing Hare Krishna.
Well, you know, once you've started down that path with the tape recorder.
That tape recorder was the real MacGuffin of the movie, wasn't it?
The tape recorder was probably the best actor in the whole film. it was the best plot points.
Now, so this is where you get a bunch of chase scenes. So like the guys are chasing everyone through skate parks and stuff, and you see some really insane jumps, jumping over cars and shit like that, and it's like,
well. And they conveniently, like, the guy was... What was the guy working on? Like, he had a sawhorse. and the car pulled up, and he got startled, and so then the board dropped,
yeah.
And then they made it where they could. And remember earlier in the movie, Linda Blair said she had only been skating for like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
and
that was part of the.
And she's
story.
Making jumps over cars. I mean, she would have a really realistic. What would have happened is they would have flown. She would have hit the side of the car and snapped her neck, and that probably would have been the end of the movie.
So that was part of the story. That was part of the love story part, where it's like she never skated. He's going to teach her how to skate for this big competition at Jammer's place, and Jammer also convinced the mob guys to have one last night where they could do that.
Yeah.
So that's where it's building up. You know, it's building up to this amazing climax.
I should note, when they are running from the bad guys, they decide to go to the one place where the bad guys think they would go.
I know. Well, I mean,
not only that, they hang onto the back of the bad guys' cars so they can have the bad guys, in essence, give them a ride to where the bad guys think they're going.
They're skitching on the back of the bad guy's car to the roller rink to which the bad guys are going to get them.
Cut them some slack, man. These are some Venice Beach kids. They're not exactly the sharpest tools in the shed now.
Where should we go?
Yeah.
They expect us to go. They'll never expect that.
Oh, man. So
how are we going to get there? Let's have them get us there.
Maybe they'll give us a ride. All right.
So anyway, they chase scenes. They never get caught. They end up, everyone all ends up at Jammer's place. And then, like, the dancing ensues. And really, that's where I think the real hint came in, is that it wasn't a love story between Linda Blair and Bobby James. Or his acronym, BJ, is, I think the real love story, was between BJ and Jammer. I think those two had a thing for each other.
You know what? I wrote that in my notes, because when Jammer sells, Jammer just starts getting shit face. He looks like he's drinking a bottle of like old school Listerine, the gold.
It's an old crow.
And he's just an old drunken soot, and he's just hammered, and he's in the DJ booth, and he's drunk, and he's probably got his pants down. And Bobby comes in there, and he like puts his arm out, and he goes, "Jammer, this one's for you." And it's like a slow.
Yeah.
Strangers in the Dark. And he starts doing this. And it's just like, I'm like, oh no. That's why they call him Jammer. They call him Jammer because he's going to jam Bobby.
He's going to jam the BJs, what he's going to do.
God, how great would that have been if that movie just suddenly just took a turn where they're just passionately making out in the DJ booth?
Wait, here's a little piece of that scene.
Okay.
Who's that? Who's that? Oh, Bobby. It's all over. You're going to be the greatest, Bobby.
No.
I'd like to dedicate this next number to Jammer Delaney.
Oh, Bobby.
Let's
go, Zach, Bobby.
It would have been even better if they would have just like shown like Jammer watching him and he's crying and you just see his one shoulder moving and his hands like underneath the desk.
This is the only way I can do it.
The tears work is loose.
Wait, shh.
Oh my,
let's feel this. I can kind of feel it.
Jammer?
That's what Jammer said.
Oh, Jammer.
There it is.
Feel it.
Oh, Bobby.
Dude, this is a song they played at the end of the night at high school mixers.
Oh. And he's wearing extra tight pants.
Yes. I can imagine BJ and Jammer dancing like Frankensteins because they don't want to get too close together.
He skates around out of the dark, and out of the shadows comes a buck-naked Jammer on skates.
That's kind of what I was thinking too. Like, because I thought about that earlier when the guy was on the trash dumpster with the girl, and that he jumps off to skate after her, and he just kind of rod in those pants.
Think about an old heavyset guy skating out naked.
Oh my god, that movie would be. What do you mean? Here's the question, Tim. This is for you because you're now the director of this scene. when Jammer comes. I have two questions for you. When Jammer comes out chasing Bobby naked on his roller skates, is he skating gracefully or drunkenly from side to side? And is he flaccid or is he hitting batting practice?
No, okay, so first
he's taking BP.
He's drunk, so he can't really use his skating prowess. So he's kind of doing that where you walk awkwardly in skates when you never skated before.
That was my move.
Like he's jogging with his pants around his ankles, where he can't really get it. And yeah, he's just
so he's kind of choppy, and things are bouncing around.
Yeah, he's really just intensifying the waggle is what he's doing.
And he's kind of trying to like, you know, playfully jog out there, but he falls once, he gets up, and it's just full tilt.
And Linda Blair's got a tear in her eye.
Linda Blair comes in right as he gets to Bobby.
Bobby clutches on to Jammer's left leg and lifts it in the air as they pirouette together, as they somehow spoon and skate at the same time in such a beautiful, sweaty, hairy mass of joy.
Or they could just look like, or they could just be like they're doing the Tombstone pile driver around the circle.
Oh man.
He's upside, Jammer's upside down, and he's got.
And then as the music begins to fade, Jammer starts to do a spin, but he's drunk and out of control, and just falls head first on the ice and his ass in the air.
and that's where BJ takes over.
Oh, all right, come on, guys. For the director's commentary.
Hey, so anyway, that was a tearful tribute to a drunken old creep.
Drunken old soot.
Yes, soot. So anyway, so that all happens, contest happens. Guess what? Even though they looked really terrible skating, BJ and Linda Blair wins. Yay, whatever. So then, like...
Yeah, they have to... And all the other people they showed were a lot more interesting and colorful and better, and you know they
yeah, they were the worst and they somehow won.
But, yeah, well, they all acted like they were surprised too, and like the whole movie's building up like these two are the greatest, and then like everyone's standing there like with this anticipation, and then they win, and like everyone's like, oh right, I'm like, well, who did you think was gonna win? I mean, like the people you never even gave names to, you were gonna get third.
The reason they were in question whether or not they won is like they did their whole routine with a naked Jammer following them around the rink. So there's some question to whether or not that was interfering.
Shooting a pistol in the air.
Oh god! But it wasn't like a real gun; it was a pop cap gun. So it was like
he was shooting his pop gun, drinking his scotch, and going, "Bobby, come back, Bobby! Oh,
BJ,
Bobby,
I need you, BJ."
And that's the whole reason they won, because someone said, hey, if you can even skate in a complete circle when there's a drunken man naked chasing you on skates, then you are a roller boogie champion.
Here's your trophy,
that
sir.
That was on purpose. That we did that on purpose. It's a performance piece.
Yeah,
so, it is like weird performance art, isn't it?
So, yeah, oh god. It was very performant. So,
Oh, but here I gotta bring up this point though, and this is one positive I would have to say about the movie. That okay, so at the end, so she still has to go to school in New York, and Bobby is gonna train for the Olympics, which I don't remember a lot of roller skating in the Olympics still.
You know why you don't remember a lot of roller skating in the Olympics?
Are you telling me the movie wasn't right? It wasn't actually correct?
Because it wasn't.
Well, now, hold on.
What?
No.
Hold on. So,
what?
They win the contest. The mob guys show up. We're taking over. Mira. And then everyone shows up. And then, all of a sudden, like, they finally get to play the tape. And
oh, and the cop. So the cop hears it.
Yes, but most importantly, I'll get to that in a second. Like, so they play the tape. The lawyer sees this. The lawyer reads the writ. Said it's not a valid contract. Jamarcus to keep it. And then the cop, who was from our last movie, Can I Do It Till I Need Glasses, shows
up. He was?
Up. That bike cop was in Can I Do It Till I Need Glasses.
He was.
What part did he play in that?
He was the big hulking dude in those jokes where there he was like the big guy with huge arms. It's that guy. I looked it up. It's him.
Wow.
Yes.
So he was in the greatest and the worst movie that we've seen.
Yes.
Well, no, this isn't the worst. This isn't the worst movie we've done.
No, this is no Shanghai Surprise.
No. I was hoping that I don't know if Santa Claus is worse than Shanghai. What is the vote?
That's true. We're gonna have to have a tournament voting site on the website to determine like who is the worst of the worst from season one.
Well, like bracket, like NCAA bracket.
Instead of the Elite Eight, it'll be the Terrible Eight or something.
But I mean, like the lead runners on that are gonna be Santa Claus and Shanghai Surprise, but somebody else. There's probably.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe that Rey Mysterio wrestling horror movie would come up out of nowhere. That. You know, I mean,
I enjoyed that one.
No, that was watchable. I mean, there was Taylor Dane in there.
I don't know. I'm just saying. You know, you put it up to a vote and see how. You know, it's a tournament. It's a Wily, you know, the underdogs can come out and win. You don't know what's going to happen exactly.
Well, you know, and it'll be a definitive answer since just the three of us will be voting.
I know, exactly. There'll be no ties in that shit, that's for sure.
I take it back. We might have a couple dedicated fans who would vote.
It's no Yor.
Yeah, all three people. Oh, Yor was pretty shitty too, though.
Yor was bad.
Yeah, see what I mean? I mean,
the music was awesome.
Yes, so at any rate, so, yeah, so... So cop.
But I was. What was the point I was going to make about the end of the movie? We were talking about.
He was
going to
go. So that all kind of wrapped itself nicely in a bow, and then they decided where you were going to run into, where he was going to go train for the Gay Olympics, and then she was going to go.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Music.
But yeah, so she was going away to school, and they were like, "She's like, here, you take the trophy." And he's like, "Oh, I don't have room. My place is a shithole." I guess is what he was trying to say. And so they kind of went back and forth. And I thought, okay, this is the thing where she's going to say, they say goodbye, and she drives away. And then he goes, no, wait. And then I've always wanted to try New York and jump in the car. But he didn't. He just waved, and it was like, see you later, bitch. And then I have
he's
to
going,
think about it.
That's because he's going back into Jammer's arms.
So, do you see Jammer behind him, like, looking out the window, like, naked, like, drinking his scotch? He's like, that's right, you better just keep driving away, bitch. Bobby's mine.
And then he tosses, with his right hand, he tosses his hair back over his shoulder as he walks back into the apartment. That's right, girl.
And he farts. But what I was thinking too, because it was a whole different era back then. Because she's going to New York, he's in California, and he's just like, well, maybe I'll come see you sometime. And I thought about it, like, it's not like nowadays, like, people will do long distance relationships and people will travel. It's easier to fly. It's not as expensive. You know what I mean? But back then, it was like
on Skype.
Yeah, but back then it was kind of like if someone moved away, you're like, well, maybe I'll see you never. So
and that's where my theory comes in to this movie. I think it's like the handshake. I think it's like the link between the movie. Now I could have my timelines like off, right? I might have to look at IMDb about it. But I think like this is like the intermediary. This is like right in between Saturday Night Fever and Greece.
Yeah.
I think it's like
you're right.
It's like right in between
you're
those
right.
things. I think that's what they're shooting.
And maybe on the IMDb page, it said something about that they tried to get Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta were actually considered for this role, for those roles in the movie.
They ran screaming from it.
Right. But not that really, to me, it's like, okay, maybe this is going to be blasphemy, but maybe not in our circle of friends and people, but I mean, Greece is, I don't think it's a big deal, it is. You know, it's just like, eh. You know, this isn't that much better than Greece. It's hokey, just as hokey. It's a different kind of hokey. No pun to your... Not red sweatpants where you can see your chonies. that kind of hokey. I guess it's just... I don't know. It wasn't horrible. Tim made it sound like he was like, I kept getting these texts like, oh, it's a piece of shit. Oh, it's a piece of shit. You're gonna hate it. I was like, it was a piece of shit, but it was all right. It was watchable.
To a certain extent, I was just trying to, you know, I was just selling it.
Prepare for the worst. But I appreciate you looking out for me a little bit on that.
That's what I mean. I wanted you to go into it with like an impending sense of dread, and then it'd be like, oh, it's not so bad.
Well, it worked then. It worked then. So I'm going to need you to call me every day before work now and give me the same pep talk.
Just, you only need to worry when I say, you know, it wasn't that bad. It was all right.
Yeah. It's okay. Nothing bad happened. But, yeah, I thought that Bobby was one of the worst actors. Was he Canadian or something? He had a weird accent that would come out every once.
Speech impediment is what he had.
I can't tell the difference. You're either foreign or you have a lisp. It's one or the other.
Oh man. So you got me interested. You got my curiosity piqued, right? So now that I have like now that I like kind of made that connection, so I was like, okay, let's look at IMDb, right? There's two nuggets of joy.
Right.
There's two nuggets that I have to say. One,
okay.
This movie was referenced in Ginger Dead Man 3 Saturday Night Cleaver.
Ooh.
Where the Ginger Dead Man travels back to 1976 and carries out an epic disco killing spree.
Ooh.
I know. And Sylvia St. Croix is a director in it. She's not starring in it. But Muffy Boulding wrote it, and some other people are in it.
Muffy?
Yeah. At any rate, so there's that. And then the other thing is that this film is listed among the 100 most enjoyably bad movies ever made in Golden Raspberry Award founder John Wilson's book, The Official Razzie Movie Guide. So there you go. So maybe Roller Boogie has something for it. I'm just saying.
What you're saying, this is a Roller Boogie, an award-winning film.
A Raspberry Award-winning film, maybe.
It has wins an award. It's not a good award, but it's an award.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And you can go by the whole P.T. Barnum thing, you know, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
That's
an
right.
Award's an award. It's the same kind of thing, man. So this is the greatest film we've ever done.
it's a piece of shit. So the official verdict for this is don't fast forward because it's goofy. Don't fast forward it. Watch the movie. It's a piece of shit.
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. You don't have to put much effort into it. And it's pretty. If anything, it's a good snapshot of just how lame disco and roller skating used to be. So that's my verdict on it. So it's kind of hard to watch, but like by the way, Cornwall Conway the guy
Complete Control Conway.
Who is it?
Complete Control Conway.
So, like, Mobster Guy is at the end. The only other time Complete Control Conway came in was at the end because the Mobster Guys were getting ready to shake down and beat some people up at the end of the movie. And Complete Control and the Complete Control Conway just all of a sudden shows up and knocks those guys over. So
wasn't he the one who crashed into the table, though, at the reception, though, in the cake? Was that him,
yes,
too?
That was him, too.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Man,
what
an awesome job that would have been. You're just a guy that just runs into shit.
All right, I'll do it.
So,
but it's obvious the guy could skate, though, because he had that controlled bad, you know what I mean? It's like you could tell, like, well, that guy really knows what he's doing. He's just trying to make it look like he doesn't know what he's doing.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say. So yeah. So if anybody wants to, I don't think it's the worst thing. I mean, it's funny. Like you know, I did post the summary of it in about a minute on our Facebook page, which kind of shows some of the lines and some of the ridiculousness.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you really have a short attention span, you could just click on that, and you know, you won't be into it for like an hour and 45 like we were.
I mean, I remember that when I watched it, it was pretty tedious, but you know. It's not like you watch it and, you know, you're sitting there going, you know.
Who are you?
That's kind of how I felt when I was watching it, but on second, with some time away, I don't feel quite that bad. So
I just finished it not too long ago. I finished it in my office too. So technically, it was slow, and if anyone I work with is by chance of seeing this, don't rat me out. I actually got paid. I made some money on Roller Boogie. It was a little slow, so technically I got paid for like 20 minutes of watching the movie at my desk. Yeah, I've made it. I'm the American dream. Oh, boy. So are we done with Roller Boogie?
We are. The weird thing, if you listen real close in the back of Roller Boogie, you might hear some things like,
stick your cock up her ass, you motherfucking worthless cocksucker.
Oh! What was that?
Oh. Hey, Chris, wait, you'll be on that.
What the It's so...
See the course of the Lord. Become your hostile powers.
It's a whole bunch of her being in the Exorcist.
Okay, so I got a quick question about Linda Blair really quickly.
All right.
Okay, so she, I don't know how old she was when The Exorcist came out, right?
Yeah.
But so she... In this movie, and like some of the movie's efforts, they kind of made it like a teen, like kind of like sex symbol. How do you go from being the possessed demon who spits vomit and everything to being like, you know what, this girl is who we want to use for our main female lead? Does that seem a little off?
Yeah, I think she tried a long time to shake the Exorcist thing, and then until she did the one, there's some goofy movie where she did the character again. I can't remember what it was. Not the sequel to The Exorcist.
No, you know who you put the blame solely and squarely on? You put the blame...
Prince Albert?
No. Oh. Prince Albert? What? No. You put it on Irwin Yablans. Because this was an Irwin Yablans production with a story by Irwin Yablans and screenwriting from Irwin Yablans. It's that guy that did it. I blame that guy.
Oh no! So that's the guy who's gonna do you know what in hell?
Damn, Irwin Yablans. Ooh, okay. So let's see what. Right. Oh my God, Irwin Yablans is a producer, and he was an executive producer for Halloween, Tourist Trap. He did Roller Boogie, and then he did Halloween 2, Hell Night, Halloween 3, Parasite, Tank. Wow. Men at Work. He was an executive producer for Men at Work.
Money.
He actually did like good movies. What the two movies that he wrote was Prison and Roller Boogie. And then this is kind of like his strikeout at the plate, where he hit a couple of grand balls with Halloween and knocked one out of the park with Men at Work.
Well, it should be, if you're sitting there writing this movie and it's like two lines of dialogue. Okay, insert skate scene. Two lines of dialogue. Yeah. Skate scene.
Yeah.
Two lines of dialogue. Yeah. Okay, I've got two pages. We're good.
Well, yeah, it's like he kind of just wrote a couple little joke scenes. Like, wouldn't it be funny if these two guys in a fruit truck said they called this girl Boobs, Twin Peaks, and mountain climbing? Yeah, good. Okay, now 20 minutes of skating. Okay, now we need... Move it on.
Now we got ourselves a picture. All right.
he didn't even need a trapper keeper for that script.
Let's just wing it.
A couple loose leaves. So do you guys want the next pick?
No, wait, hold on. I have to ask this one thing. Okay. I have to ask this one thing, and then we'll go to the next pick. Did you guys as a kid ever go to skating parties at your grade schools?
A ton, yeah. Every year, even up until the seventh grade, we had that was like the end of the year thing. Was we would go skating.
There's one thing I was kind of okay at.
I was pretty good at it.
I was terrible at it. I was the guy like I would be the naked jammer of the group, I would just like stumble around, look like I was a baby learning how to walk out on the rink. I did a couple laps. I always did one or two laps, and that was about it. And then I was terrible at it. I was absolutely terrible at it.
Between the scooter and the bikes and the roller skates, wheels were not your friend as a child.
No, I was not very balanced or adept in any kind of motions and stuff like that. So that was just not good for me. But I always loved the skating parties because then I would get inside and go straight to the arcade games.
Yeah,
I'd play the hell out of like Moon Patrol and like every guy was all around the Double Dragon game, and you always hang out at Double Dragon and play Double Dragon and shit like that. And I had more fun playing the video games than I actually did like skating.
I should note that they did make a stand up video arcade machine based on the movie Krull.
I played it and it was awesome.
No, it sucks.
Dude, you're just killing my childhood.
It's so
you're killing his red sweatpants childhood.
Dude, they were threadbare, Tim. Threadbare. You could see my underwear through them.
You love that part. You're like, this is some like weird converted thing that you like to cast out. You're like,
yes.
Threadbare.
It's like I'm albino or like I grew an extra limb. That's what that is.
Little Mike and roller skates standing at the Krull machine, dropping in quarters, loving.
No, you didn't have roller skates on when you did it. You didn't even put the skates on, did you?
No, and that's why. That's why my mom got so angry about that stuff. It's because it was a racket, right? You cannot go in unless you rented skates. They wouldn't let you in. They would not let you in that damn place unless you had a pair of skates rented. So my mom would always complain about it because all I wanted to do was play video games. So what ends up, and she was rightfully angry. She had every right. I was a kid. I didn't care. But she had every right to be angry because it's like, why the hell do we have to get these skates when all you're going to do is go over there and play video games? It's like come on. So, but I didn't care because I was playing Double Dragon and Dig Dug. So It was
fun. Oh, I love Dig Dug. And Cubert.
Oh, Cubert. Totally. And Airwolf, little known Airwolf, the arcade game, was pretty good, that game. Too.
Oh, I remember that.
I played that, although...
You know what's funny, though? Like,
oh, God.
Okay, I keep interrupting.
No.
So you guys went... Did you go, like, other than skating parties? Because, like, my family, for a while, like... My mom would take us, like, every other Friday, and we would go to the roller rink. But I never had skates of my own. Did you guys?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I never did either. Oh. I can still do it. I did it a couple years ago.
I believe you get your ass kicked for having something like that.
I could still roller skate. It's not as pretty as it used to be, but I can...
I get severely injured if I skate.
I don't know. I'd probably be a little bit better on it, but I'd have to have a couple of drinks in me first.
To loosen it up so you could just relax when you fall?
Exactly. I don't have to get...
I was like five when we started, like five or six, and there was a teenage girl who worked there at the skate center who used to always do the couple skate with me. Which I thought was the greatest thing. So, at like 6 years old, I was already into girls.
Awesome.
And then she had to quit because she fell and cracked her head open. Like one time when I wasn't there, like, and it was like I didn't pull her down or anything and give her brain damage.
And then she died. That's a great story.
I'm a downer.
Okay, well, I'll bring you up the most glorious moment I've ever had at a skating rink. And it's been there a lot because that's what you do on field trips for kids and shit, right? In grade school, the best moment, the most glorious moment that I've had is when I'm scooting along, hugging the rails, right? On my little roller skates, and I'm grabbing the handlebar. I'm just scooting along, and then the skeezy guy. The skeezy guy who was the DJ that kind of oversaw the arena that was the skating rink, just out of the blue, is like, "Hey kid, what song do you want to hear? I'll play it. I'm like, John Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer. And then he and then he played it. And that was like the most glorious moment I ever had at a skateboard.
I have a follow-up to that story.
Oh!
Okay.
I won a cassette tape at a roller party because I recognized, I knew the name of the band who played Play That Funky Music White.
Oh, it's an average white band?
No, it was Casey and the Sunshine.
The jazz band.
Yeah.
Casey and
the Sunshine. Oh, yeah.
And they said, you know, the DJ, he's like, anybody can name this one, you get a free ever. I was like, it was some lame tape.
A cassette.
Probably Casey and the Sunshine then. It was a cassette. And so I skated over it. I was like, for whatever reason, I knew it. And he's like, who told you that? I'm like, I know it. And he's like, no, you're too young to know it. And I was like, no, I know it. I want the tape.
And then he's like, it's a throwdown. Let's go.
And he gave me the tape. He's like, you sure your parents didn't tell you that? I'm like, yeah. My parents aren't here. And he said, oh, really?
Oh, man.
That part didn't happen. The tape happened and the tribute question happened.
Man. I'm pretty sure they still have skating parties. I wonder if it's those four bangers and not the blades still.
Oh, I still probably have the old skates floating around.
Oh, they have to.
We should do that. Like, Tim, if we go down to Austin, we should go do a skating party.
I'll tell you this.
All three of us.
I don't know where a skating rink is at, but I know exactly where the laser tag place is at. So.
Well, you know what? I know where the roller rink is here, so in Redwood City, so you guys can just come here then.
There we go.
You live in Austin. You know there's a roller rink.
Probably somewhere around here.
Yeah, that's such a hipster. Yeah, that's such a hipster thing to do. There's definitely gotta be like.
Yeah, they serve PBR and draft there too.
I imagine in Austin they probably got a whole bunch of like guys like with, you know, big horn rim glasses and fedoras like roller skating to Tortoise remixes, you know. You know,
pirouettes really cool. In the air.
Well, if you know, if we go to the roller rink and start skating, it'll suddenly not be a hipster thing anymore.
Good.
It's what?
It'll suddenly stop being a hipster thing.
Yeah.
No, like, they'll be staring at my ass because I'll be wearing those.
He's going sweatpants.
Because I'll be wearing those sweatpants, so threadbare, you can see my underwear. But since I'm old enough and my parents aren't around, they don't have to tell me about it, I won't be wearing any underwear.
You can wear your sweatpants. You can wear your sweatpants, and you can bitch at the guy for charging for skates when you just want to play the arcade machines.
I know. It's like, what the hell, dude? I just want to play Galaga. What are you doing to me? Come on, let's work something out.
Like, if I ever see somebody in red sweatpants ever playing a stand-up video game, I'm just
then you know it's him. It was Mike lost it one day, and that's what happened.
Hey guys, what's
Mike?
Up?
What do you think?
You want to get a Slurpee? I'm going to put some rum in it.
I'd rip these stupid skates, though.
are you guys a size 12? Because I ain't doing that shit. I'm going to play some Dig Dug.
that's the greatest name for a game, too, Dig Dug. It's just such a great name.
I played. There is a pinballs arcade here that has a lot of classic pinball and video games. They have all four Mortal Kombat's. That would be a treat to go to. And they have Return of the Jedi arcade game, which I didn't even know existed. And it's a piece of shit. Huh. It is a piece of shit. So it's not as cool as that original.
I think I remember that one.
It's not as cool as that original Star Wars game where it was all THX sound, surround sound, and yeah, it was all polygons and stuff. But when like fucking,
that's awesome.
You hear "Use the Force, Luke." It was like so awesome.
It was a good game. I played that recently. It was fun.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to take a trip down nostalgia lane into the skating rink because that's what this movie made me think of while I was trying to not think of dudes' junks falling out of their short ass shorts. Yeah. So
it's like having a bad day and crap, and you got all the stuff to worry about and work and, you know, 401k and all that. It's like, oh man, those are simpler times. Those are some nice times in life. I mean, just being a kid and skating and Having red sweatpants.
And watching movies where it's socially acceptable to sexually harass women to get them to like you.
On wheels.
On wheels. Those were the days. So I think we just put a bow on that shit.
I think we did. But so let me grab my sheet here because I got to get the whole name of the next pick. It's on Netflix.
All right.
And Harry Dean Stanton is in it.
Yeah.
Shocking.
And
so we're not gonna tweet this out or anything, right? We're just gonna grab it right now. I'll put something up tomorrow, like when I get into work. But you're gonna let us know anyway, so it'll be both like for people because the podcast won't come out until like a certain time. So yeah, all
right.
So,
right.
Put it on the record.
So Fred Willard is in it.
All right. Good.
Harry Dean Stanton.
Good.
And Annie Potts.
Ooh,
and,
the hell?
And it's young Annie Potts too, which I always thought Annie Potts was really cute.
It's like Ghostbusters Annie Potts,
pre-Ghostbusters.
Ooh.
And the movie is called Flatbed Annie and Sweetie Pie, Lady Trucker.
What?
I actually am gonna have to write this down.
And it's on Netflix streaming, so you can watch it on Netflix if you have it. But it's Flatbed Annie and Sweetie Pie, Lady Truckers.
And Sweetie Pie,
so it's,
Lady Truckers.
Yeah, and it could yeah, because it goes Sweetie Pie, : Lady Truckers.
Wow.
So what it is that basically, their husbands are truckers, and like one of them gets hurt. I think Fred Willard is one of the husbands, and then so they have to start doing the trucking job, and there's a like a bad cop after them, and it's so it's like 70s kind of like action kind of stuff like that. So I just figured since for some reason I've been under this big Harry Dean Stanton kick that I would just go ahead and just be like, yeah, let's get one of his movies.
All right, so
let's get
I just want to let you guys, I looked it up on IMDb, both Joe Estevez and Rory Calhoun is in this movie. I'm excited. I'm really excited to see
them. Yeah.
And
I think I wanted it to be a good movie because Tim set the bar so high to have like the do it like in Glasses, which was actually a fun movie to watch. Well, I actually was like, I wanted to be like, hey, let's watch a movie that we actually like. And I think this has got potential. It's got legs.
Next time around, I'm dropping that bar back to the bottom.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I already have some ideas myself. I love where we're going. This movie's going to be awesome. I think it's probably going to be better than Roller Boogie. Although, I think the music is a lot better than Roller Boogie. I can tell you that right now. Although, it'd be cool to listen to some country music, because I know that's what's going to happen.
Hey, if it's convoy truck music, I'll do it.
All right, so I know that's coming, right? But I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to bring it back to, so I'm going to find something. But Tim knows, Tim's that. But that's coming. What we got coming is Flatbed Annie and Sweetie Pie, which, by the way, Annie Potts plays Flatbed Annie, and Kim Darby plays Sweetie Pie, so.
Ooh,
right. It's
Botch?
Good.
Botch from what was the cartoon show with the
Car 54? It's from off Car 54.
But it was also Botch was in he was also the lackey to the bad guy in the Hanna-Barbera cartoon where the Dune buggy talked. What was
that? Oh, what is that called? I hated that one.
Speed buggy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His name
yeah.
was Botch, and he was always like.
Oh yeah.
I keep forgetting to mention this. I have to post it. I have a giveaway thing I've created.
Ooh.
Oh.
For one of our listeners, okay. You guys will also get a prototype of.
Oh. All two listeners. Melissa, Terry.
Will I have to, I got a question. Will I have to strap on this prototype?
No, you will not.
Okay.
Listeners,
it's gonna turn into that horrible Adam Sandler thing with the guy when he starts asking the questions and every other question is, can I fuck it?
Does it have a hole?
No, basically, I've got this thing for giveaway. There'll be details on the social media business, and then one of our lucky handful, literally, of people is going to get one. So
Melissa, Terry, Rod, there's three people.
Terry's got like at least a 33% shot of getting it.
I hope there isn't a deadline, because this might be just a running contest until somebody actually claims it.
No, I've thrown a line until we get a response, and then at that time they will win said prize.
Well, you might be scaring some people away because it's not a strap-on, so just...
Yeah,
let's be a little more ambiguous on this.
It's in no way a sexual aid.
It's a jammer.
It's a custom Gonzo Guys jammer ski.
It smelled like whiskey and shame.
Yes.
It's our gift from us to you.
Our gift to you.
It smells like whiskey and shame on wheels.
Ooh, that'll be the tagline when I put it up online.
Roll that fake dick over here.
Yeah. Turn that up.
Alright.
So we're going on to disco. We're
going out with this and a little bit of this.
That's Flatbed Annie and Sweetie Pie, Lady Truckers. I already have a story for that, but you're going to have to listen to next time. In the meantime, don't fast forward.
And watch out for Jammer.
Watch out for Jammer on the Facebooks. It's Gonzo Guys at Facebook. Gonzo Guys on the Twitters. We'll put something up there.
There's a giveaway coming.
Yes. So,
good night.
So then, good night, folks.
Sucks cocks and hell, Karen. Thank you.